You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. If you're listening, you're watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. You're tweeting, emailing. Say good morning to Chat Row. Boys are here, ready to go. Did we settle on a poll question, McLovin?
I put up hour one. Which sport is in the best shape right now, NFL, NBA, or MLB? 62% NFL, then NBA second, and then MLB a distant third.
All right. It's, you know, it's fluid. It feels like it's every day where there's something else that comes up. There's progress that's made, two steps forward, two steps back. I mean, I look at the Brooklyn Nets. You don't have Durant. You don't have Kyrie. You got a couple other players. DeAndre Jordan's not going to go. You got a couple players who tested positive yesterday. And I wonder if they're going to be able to put together a roster to go to Orlando. And I don't know if the commissioner would step in and say, you know what, on second thought, the Wizards get to go. Because has Kyrie been cleared medically? I know nothing about Kyrie Irving's health status. I know Kevin Durant is coming back from the Achilles surgery. Has he been cleared medically? They just decided that he shouldn't be doing anything? Because that's what it feels like. And I think that's the prudent move. I don't want Kevin Durant to come back for a two-month period or, you know, six-week period and try to do too much. I would want to load management Kevin Durant next year. I would take as many safety precautions as I could. Kyrie, I don't even know what his injury is. Is it his knee? It's been so long ago. I've forgotten all about it. Yeah, Paul.
Kyrie Irving's shoulder surgery was 4 to 6 weeks. So they said it would be that timeline equaled he could be back in June. Kevin Durant was medically cleared at the end of March, according to the New York Post.
Now, medically cleared to start working out?
Right, but that's 2 months ago he was medically cleared.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 3 months ago.
Yeah, I just don't see the upside to bring him back and have him play.
Any chance, though, that the Nets and Durant and Kyrie look at us and say, hey, we have there's no home court advantage. There's this weird tournament down in Orlando. This evens the playing field a bit for us to advance on. Why not take a shot?
Because you got DeAndre Jordan out. Spencer Dinwiddie just tested positive. You had Wilson Chandler, who's not going to go. You don't even know if Kyrie's going to play. I can't put Durant in that situation. I just saw this from our friend Chris Haynes. Kevin Durant, who is continuing his rehab, will not accompany the team to Orlando for the season resumption, league sources tell Yahoo Sports. Not surprised. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, I got bad news on the Wizards. They're six games back of the Nets with eight games to play. They ain't catching the Nets.
Oh, I know they're not, but I'm saying, can Brooklyn actually field a team to go to Orlando? What happens if somebody else tests positive on that team?
I mean, is a team that half G League guys any worse than the current Washington Wizards?
Wow.
Come on. Oh, who's going to... What? Wow. Are we afraid of Wizards Nation out there? There isn't a single person.
Wizards Nation.
Have you guys ever met a Wizards fan? I'm sorry.
Good point.
We know Redskins fans. And we know some Nationals fans out, but no one's ever met a Wizards fan.
You can't imagine anyone saying, I grew up a diehard Wizards fan.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
How long have the Wizards been the Wizards? Because I remember when they were the Baltimore Bullets, and they were a great team. But then they became the Wizards. Yes, Paulie.
They've been the Wizards. When would you think, if you could guess the year they went from Bullets to Wizards, top of your head?
Well, Abe Pollin was the owner of the team, I think, at the time. And I'm going to guess 25 years?
Pretty close, Dan. 23 years ago, 97-98 seasons, your Wizards came into existence.
Yeah. That was the first where of politically correctness when it comes to team names, it feels like, because they were the Bullets.
There were some college teams like Marquette and St. John's and others changed. I don't know when they changed.
But I don't know when St. John's went from the Redmen and Marquette changed as well.
I think it was a little earlier because Dartmouth changed in the late 80s from the Indians to the Big Green.
Okay.
There was a movement. It was in the early 90s to change those names.
But nobody noticed because it was Dartmouth.
They all did. I think the Syracuse Orange Men were right around. Like, it all happened right
like
around.
Like 94?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Except it didn't happen in Washington, D.C.
No, it
speaking
didn't.
Of.
I know, it didn't. It's not going to happen anytime soon either. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, you saw what happened last week. The Redskins took down a statue of one of their former owners. You could tell that's such a pacification move to try to,
yeah.
Can we change the topic? We'll take down this statue. Can you all move along so we don't have to address our team name?
It's like, how much can we do that's just enough so we don't have to change our nickname?
Right.
All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to Doug in Florida. Hi, Doug, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP, 511-170. Wanted to share with you that McLovin could not be further from the truth or understanding. He needs to pay attention to the master. By spring, we would be willing to watch cockroaches play football because of the biochemistry of the COVID-19 virus, NBA bubble, NFL, NCAA, all those guys, it's going to be a disaster. But you just can't control the thing. It's got to play itself out, or we've got to have a vaccine or a cure. But, McLovin, come spring, if Ivy League football does not have the highest ratings, then I'll take you sailing for the weekend, my friend. Come down to Florida.
There you go.
That's kind of a worst case. He's saying that there's going to be no sports until then, like the Super Bowl won't happen.
Well, there won't be any football after the Super Bowl, and you would plug into that spring football XFL window that everybody was going crazy over. Now, granted, those numbers dissipated, but this is just a proposal from the Ivy League, and we asked to have somebody on from the Ivy League. Fritzy, can I read a portion of what they sent to us?
Sure.
Not going to be publicly commenting outside the statement. Therefore, we respectfully cannot have. Is this the commissioner of the Ivy League on the show this morning?
Yeah, we were looking to have the executive director, okay. Robin Harris, on.
Okay. But they're just talking about spring football. That's all. Just the possibility of waiting to the spring, and it's the Ivy League. St. John's changed its nickname 1994. So 26 years ago. Louis Carnesecca was. Now, was he still the head coach then? I know he made the announcement, but...
He's alive. I saw him on a local news interview last month. He's doing great.
The Redmen will now be known as the Red Storm. And I don't even remember Marquette changing its name.
With Warriors?
Yeah.
Years ago?
Yeah.
Hawaii? Didn't Hawaii do that with the Rainbow?
The Rainbows.
They were the Rainbow Warriors?
Yeah.
I got Syracuse in 2004 from the Orange Men to the Orange.
Okay. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What do you have for me today?
What up, though? One time for my guys and girls in chat row. Dan.
Yes.
I was sitting up thinking the other day. Listen. You funny, man. Listen, as far as GOATs go, you got LeBron and you got Tom. Do you ever remember a time where it was two GOATs at the same time with such longevity? I thought about it. When both of these guys got in the leagues, I was in my 20s. I'm getting ready to have a 50th birthday, and they're still fighting for championships to this day. Do you ever remember two athletes with such great resumes fighting for championships this late in their careers?
Well, Tom's the GOAT, but LeBron's not the GOAT. He's in the conversation. So, yeah, Jeff.
Well,
What?
I said him being in so many different championships, him running the Pistons to the championship, him taking, Miami. And if he does it with the Lakers, he's definitely going to be in the quest. In the conversation.
Oh, I know he's in the conversation. It's just people won't allow him in the conversation. Thank you, Jeff, because of their memories with Jordan and certainly with that documentary that came out. That just reinforced, how people thought about Mike. But LeBron's in the conversation. But I don't think he'll ever be the GOAT. He'd have to win at least two more titles. And then you could have, and I don't even want to get into this topic because it's silly. Battle lines are drawn. You either believe it or not, nobody's going to take Mike off the pedestal. I entertain it, but they're different basketball players. The only person who's close to Michael Jordan, in my opinion, is Kobe, because Kobe tried to be Mike. LeBron can't be Mike. He's different. And therefore, I don't think he'll be... There's that apples and oranges. You're trying to compare the two, but you can't. know, you just, they're different players, different people, different eras. Yeah, Paul.
One thing that's interesting, I just looked at the timeline. Tom Brady really became a household name when he won the Super Bowl in January of 2002, correct?
Yeah.
4 weeks later, LeBron James on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school athlete. So Tom Brady was not that well known when he got handed the reins that season in 01. And then he became household name January of 02. LeBron James basically became a household name before he got drafted a year and a half later by being on the SI cover 3 weeks after Brady wins the Super Bowl. Those guys have been household names since then.
Yes.
I think it was still kind of controversial that they didn't bring Bledsoe back once he got healthy, that they left Brady in. I mean, that's says a lot about his star power then.
Well, if you go back and listen to that final drive with John Madden, John Madden is questioning the coaching philosophy of or decision of Bill Belichick to let Brady throw the ball down the field because he thought that they were not going to try to get in, you know, field goal range, that you were going to play for overtime because we weren't sure about Tom Brady. And Brady's numbers were kind of pedestrian, I think, in that first Super Bowl. That was basically won by the defense, their strategy against Marshall Faulk. But, you know, Brady wasn't one that, you know, you looked at him and you went, that's greatness. I remember after that Super Bowl, so that next day, and, you know, we're just going, is he going to be great? I didn't know at the time. I thought, you know, boy, that's a great story. And, you know, the fact that Bledsoe helped them, I think, against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But I looked at Brady and I went, I don't know if he does anything great. But he didn't get flustered in the biggest moment of his young career. And I thought, okay, something to be said. There's no way at the time I went, man, that guy is destined for greatness. Yeah, Paul.
And if you watch, I watched the end of that Super Bowl, the fourth quarter a couple weeks ago, and John Madden's calling it. And when they get the ball back, they're like, well, you know, you got a young quarterback in there. Just run a few plays and play for overtime.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah. So here's John Madden saying that. And then they were aggressive. And then Vinatieri kicks the field goal. But there's no way. I figured LeBron was going to be something. Did I think he was going to be this? Probably not. But knowing everything about LeBron James and how he played the game, having seen one basketball game that he played in. So you have a guy who's 6'8", by far the biggest guy on the floor. And he's the best passer on the floor. And I remember coming away going, it's unbelievable how unselfish he is. And he wanted to make others better. And, you know, Jordan's not that kind of guy. Jordan's philosophy was, why do I throw it to you? Even if I'm double covered, I got a better chance of scoring than you do if you're wide open. LeBron would always find the open man. And you had these guys who looked like they're about 5'9 on the team. And he would make great passes even back then. All righty. So we got a poll question here. Paul in Ohio joins us. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Oh, you tell me, Paul, what's on your mind?
Well, I went to a physical therapist yesterday, Dan, and your name popped up. I was showing her things that I cook on my Traeger. And there was a little picture of you. And she goes, is that Dan Patrick? And I said, yeah. Anyway, I showed her a little video of my Walter Mitty mullet with the jerky. And she goes, I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God. He's one of my favorites.
Hmm.
So I thought I'd pass it along to you. And did anybody have any more comments about the Keefe Olbermann thing? That kind of really concerned me.
What do you mean?
I mean,
oh, his doubts for the World Series?
Yeah, yeah.
Buster Olney from the Mothership has said the same thing. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for that update. Our female population is skyrocketing. Huge. And I think it's three now that we have. At least three on record. Yeah, Olbermann said 0% chance of the World Series. Buster Olney said the same thing. I'm a little more optimistic than that. I'm going to be a little bit more than 0% that the World Series won't happen here. By the way, talking about high school athletes, LeBron James on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 17. Bryce Harper on the cover at 16. And there are a few others there. I don't know if you know who Imani Bates is, because he's a big deal. He just committed to Michigan State yesterday, and he's been on the radar of serious basketball fans for a while. Last year, he became the first sophomore ever to be the National Player of the Year, Gatorade National Player of the Year. And you have a lot of scouts saying he might be the best high school prospect since LeBron James. Now, the problem is all this attention actually makes the commitment to Michigan State more precarious. By 2022, high school players should be able to go directly to the NBA. I'm going to guess Bates will go right to the NBA. I'm wondering, and I don't know if he can do this or not, and maybe somebody who's listening can help us. I'm going to guess Bates can get himself a shoe deal individually right now. Adidas, Nike. If he's not going to play college basketball, I don't know if you're ineligible in high school. Paulie, if you could check that, but I mean, he's got the hype that goes along with this, but you're talking about a prospect that could be the next LeBron James. The next LeBron James with that much publicity going into the NBA. Yeah, Paul.
Don't you think that his team and his family announced this declaration on national TV, ESPN, yesterday, almost when they see what LeBron is doing? Get famous before you're in the league. Have your marketing deals now. Start working on them now. So when he does go in the NBA draft in 2 years, he's by far the number one pick, but also a household name.
Can he have a shoe deal? Would that make him ineligible to play high school basketball? Yeah, McLovin.
But it'd make him ineligible for college basketball.
Well, he's not going to college.
Okay.
So I mean, if you know you're not going to college.
But did we know for, like Zion probably could have signed a shoe deal in high school, but he knew he had to go to college.
This kid is considered a better prospect than Zion Williamson. He's a better basketball player by his sophomore year than Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson was he's a spectacular athlete. This, by all accounts, Imani Bates is a great basketball player. I've been hearing about him since eighth grade. And I think at the time people were talking about, in eighth grade, he was the best player in the state of Michigan. But this helps Michigan State from the standpoint of, he may not go there, but I think him announcing that he trusted Tom Izzo and that other recruits might look at this and say, let me give Michigan State another look. But I don't think he's going to play at Michigan State. But I'm curious. You know, maybe Pat Forty. Fritzy, give Forty a heads up. He's going to join us here. Could he have a shoe deal? You know, above board where everybody knows you have a shoe deal? Because if I'm Nike or Adidas and I can lock him in now, absolutely. Because we saw what Zion signed for. Didn't he sign a $90 million shoe deal? And if you can get this kid now, I would lock him up. Absolutely. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We got our poll question, correct?
Well, we could keep up that multiple sport one. We could go back to Cam. We could...
Well, what do you want to ask with Cam?
Well, Paulie was asking whether it would be a pocket quarterback or a running quarterback.
But it can't be a pocket quarterback.
It's not even in play.
Because, you know, these quarterbacks play that way. That you can try to... one of the guys who got deprogrammed was Steve Young. Steve Young would have his one read and then he would go. And he had to go through his progressions. And this is according to, you know, somebody on the coaching staff of the Niners who said, we had to deprogram him from the USFL days to when he was in Tampa. You know, he ran because, you know, he was trying to survive. And he got to San Francisco, and their offense, you know, the West Coast offense, Montana never ran. It was just quick passes there. Rice and Taylor, Dwight Clark, and they had to deprogram Steve and say, you got progressions to make, and then if you have to run, you can run. Yeah, McLovin.
Doesn't even the slow quarterbacks do this run-pass option? Like, is it Nick Foles an RPO specialist? And he's as slow as anybody in the world.
He's an RPO specialist?
Yeah, isn't that what the Eagles screwed up the Patriots with in the Super Bowl? But they kept rolling him right and RPOing. And he never ran. He always threw.
Hmm.
But I feel like even Brady was running an RPO. I don't know. I feel like RPO is the standard play now in the NFL. And I could be wrong. I'll ask an expert here. But
it feels like that. But I'm not quite sure. I like, do we look at Nick Foles? I mean, it always amazed me that the Patriots gave Foles respect as if he was going to run the football in the Super Bowl. And I went, he ain't running. And he didn't. He would just, they'd be like, oh, we're going to be cautious here. No, I would be back, you know, waiting for a pass. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think 10 years ago the Ravens would have told Lamar Jackson to run less? Have attitudes changed in the NFL?
Slowly. But it feels like you have to change because you're seeing the type of quarterbacks who are coming in now that, you know, you can't be archaic. It can't be caveman football here. And that's why you're seeing, you know, Belichick has loved Cam Newton. He thought about Johnny Manziel. He thought about Baker Mayfield. You have to look at this to stay relevant, I think. You can't be, nope, we're, our quarterback sits in the pocket there. I mean, the Saints have that because that's who Drew Brees is. He can't run. Phillip Rivers can't run. Ben can't run. Those quarterbacks, those are dinosaurs. Brady can't run. All of these other quarterbacks coming in, you're athletes. Yeah, Paul.
If you look at Lamar Jackson, I think he was drafted in 2018, 2017. 10 years earlier, he would have been Pat White at West Virginia, an unbelievable run-and-shoot quarterback.
Yeah.
And Pat White was fantastic. He barely glommed on. Didn't he barely get the Dolphins?
Yeah.
And he was a fill-in guy?
I thought he was going to be a good NFL quarterback.
If Pat White were coming out now, he'd be the top 30 pick.
Yes,
didn't he get a really significantly vicious concussion early in his career?
Well, he's also a baseball guy, yeah. I think, in the Kansas City Royals.
I think he went in the second round.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah,
I thought he was really good.
He got one of the worst concussions, and that slowed him down big time.
Oh.
As a Dolphin. I'll check on that.
All right, phone calls are welcome. We'll settle on a poll question. Guy Fieri, Flavortown. He's from Columbus, Ohio. They've already, I think, taken down Christopher Columbus's monument there, and now you have a petition signed by thousands of people to rename Columbus Flavortown. Guy Fieri will join us. Is that something Guy would want? Because he's always taking a trip to Flavortown, and that's usually wherever a guy goes. He's going to Flavortown. Yes, Eden.
The mayor of Flavortown. I want to meet the person who started all that.
Is there a deputy mayor? Do they have like a streets and water department?
But when you... So who comes up with the idea and says, we're going to get thousands of signatures? Do you go door to door? Do you go to supermarkets? Where do you get all these people to sign?
Well, I think it's just online, probably.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if they've taken to the streets just yet, but they might be.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Pat Forty will talk the possibility of spring football, certainly for the Ivy League, coming up. It's 23 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Just got a text from a former NFL scout. Said the following. Patriots see Baltimore and Lamar Jackson as the new trend of offense in the NFL. College schemes, running quarterbacks, power rushing attack puts great pressure on the defense. NFL coordinators are now talking and studying with college defensive coordinators who see these offenses every week. Cam would be their version of Lamar Jackson, running game, deep play action shots. That's why, you know, we always give Belichick credit that he's usually a couple steps ahead of everybody. He's not. The Ravens are a couple of steps ahead. Arizona, it feels like, is a couple of steps ahead because they brought in quarterbacks that you probably went, they can't play at the next level. Remember, you know, Kyler Murray was too short. I haven't heard anything about, I didn't hear much about that the second half of the season. And I think he was, Paulie, would you check, was Kyler Murray the same height that at the end of the year as he was at the beginning of the year?
Actually, we haven't heard back from him.
Okay, we haven't. Okay, just want to make sure.
Don't ask him. He won't tell you anything.
That's why he won't say that. Yeah, he won't tell me anything. All right, Pat Forty's set to join us here. He covers college football, college basketball for Sports Illustrated. Senior writer there. He joins us from Louisville. Good morning. How are you, Pat?
Morning. Unlike Kyler Murray, I will not know comment you.
Okay, awesome. I just brought up this great recruit, Imani Bates out of Michigan. He's a sophomore. And I'm wondering, can a shoe company lock him up now as a sophomore in high school?
Depending what the Michigan high school basketball rules are, maybe. You know, certainly under the table they can, as they have been doing for the last couple of decades. But, you know, if you want to give him the $50 million contract, then you'd have to go above board there. And now that's the thing. If this prep school that he's going to is not going to play by Michigan High School Athletic Association rules, might be a whole different deal. You might be able to throw the money on the table for him now. And then the next question is name, image, and likeness. If he's going to go to Michigan State, if the 2% chance actually happens, you know, what could he accept via name, image, and likeness, and what could he not accept?
Oh, I don't think he's going to end up in Michigan State. Man, his dad started this prep school, so his dad's his coach there. If I'm Nike, is Michigan State a Nike school? If I'm Nike, why don't I just put his parents on payroll as consultants and pay them, you know, $50 million over the next 5 years?
Well, I guarantee they're already on payroll as consultants. The question is, yeah, how much versus, you know, a straight out monster deal directly to their son. But there's no doubt that Nike was paying them for the Bates Fundamentals team that they had in the AAU circuit the last couple of years. And they will pay for this prep school, you know, the consulting fee there. And then eventually, yeah, the big money's coming again. I just don't know whether they're ready, you know, to give a 16-year-old $50 million. If it were me, I'd wait until he's like 18 and I've seen his progression continue the way it's been.
I mentioned the Ivy League is pondering the idea of spring football. And I don't know where we're going to be in the spring and how different it's going to be in the fall, but your thoughts on the Ivy League doing this?
Well, I mean, I'd say pay attention because remember, they were the first ones to cancel on basketball and everybody thought, oh my gosh, that's extreme. They're overreacting. No, they were right. They were ahead of everybody else. And I think people will pay attention to what they're doing around college sports. Nobody wants to go to spring, but it's a possible safety net. I think there's more and more people that are open to it now than they were a month ago. And I think that, gosh, we've kind of kept kicking the can down the road, Dan, for a few weeks now. Like, well, let's wait till July 1st. We're getting close to July 1st. Doesn't look very good. We better wait till July 15th. But I think there will be serious discussions in the next couple of weeks about what if. What do we do if we just don't think that we can safely bring back players, bring back students, have college as normal in the fall? Maybe we do look at a spring.
Boomer Esiason, the former NFL quarterback, works for CBS. He has a morning show in New York on WFAN. He floated out the idea or possibility that maybe all of these kids are testing positive and that might be more strategic at the high level in college football. Your thoughts on that?
It would not completely shock me, especially, you know, like Clemson, where I don't think Dabo Swinney is the guy that's running around like saying we really need to respect the virus. I think it's more the other way around. So he might be saying, yeah, let's get it all out of the way now, as opposed to having eight guys test positive the week we play Notre Dame and not be able to play them. That's a very risky approach, obviously. You know, if you talk to infectious disease experts and health experts, they're going to say, no, this is really not a very good idea. Not, you know, being able to ensure that all health side effects of this are going to be minor and everybody's going to come back and be perfectly fine and you're not going to spread it to coaches and support personnel and eventually professors and all that sort of thing. So it would be a very risky strategy, but would it shock me completely? No, it would not.
Philip Fulmer, the athletic director of Tennessee, is planning on 100,000 fans for football games in the fall.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under on that, Pat.
Yeah.
Taking the under.
You know what? You take the under even in full health because they haven't been filling that place lately.
Well, this recruiting class, though, they got a good recruiting class here.
That's right. They just got another 3-star out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Look out. They're not going to have 100,000. Nobody's going to have 100,000. So, I mean, things would have to change so radically. And I know this has changed significantly as we've gone along, but for the next 2 months, things would have to just absolutely turn on a dime. And right now we're going the other direction from that. So maybe if you're very lucky, you play football and then you get 20, 30, 40,000 in there.
You have a radical realignment plan for college football?
I do.
You want to explain it? Give me the Cliff Notes version here.
Yeah, the new FBS, the 40 bowl subdivision. Basically, every conference is fractured. You remake them as 10 12-team conferences, 120 teams total. You kick out 11. You bring in North Dakota State. You move them up. Every one of the 10 conference champions gets an automatic bid to a 12-team playoff. You add two at-large teams. You play four teams get a bye. Eight teams play on college campuses, first round, quarterfinals on college campuses, then semis and championship as normal. And you basically you are much more regionally oriented here. You know, instead of having West Virginia going to Lubbock and vice versa, the conferences are much more aligned so that student athletes don't have to travel as far and schools don't have to pay as much to do the traveling.
What kind of reaction have you gotten?
Some people love it. Some people hate it. Generally, if you are an establishmentarian and you've already got everything going your way, like Notre Dame doesn't want to be in a conference, Notre Dame hates the fact that I want to put them in a conference. Florida and Georgia do not want to be in a conference with Florida Atlantic and Georgia Southern, but in my deal, they are. Now, if you're Georgia Southern, you're like, yeah, bring it on. Bring the dogs down to Statesboro. Let's play them. So it just kind of depends on your point of view.
Who would USC be in with?
USC would be in the West Coast Conference, which would be most of the Pac-12. Plus, you're kicking out Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado, and you're putting in like San Diego State, Fresno State, Hawaii, and Nevada. They would be the literal 12 westernmost schools that play FBS.
Yeah, I wondered if we would get to the point where that we would have the Power Five. And you would just leave it at that. And you'd just say, let's secede from the union here. And we have our own college football program. You have a commissioner, you know, five 12-team conferences.
Yep.
And maybe have an 8-team or 10-team playoff. What do you think about that proposal?
Well, that's more likely than my proposal. it is that because the big guys don't want to share. So they're, you know, if they don't have to, they're not going to. And yeah, they'd probably just as soon separate from the American Athletic Conference and the Great Mid or the Midwest Mountain West and the MAC and all that. But still, the one thing they don't want, they want to take the NCAA structure with them so that somebody is in charge of hosting championships. And putting them on, and somebody is in charge of being the bad guy because none of them want to be the bad guy. They don't want to police anything. They'd rather have the NCAA do it ineffectively and then blame them for being ineffective. So the NCAA does exist for a reason, but the Power Five breaking away is more likely, unfortunately, than my superior plan.
How's morale?
Good enough. Good enough. Keep it going. Let's just one day at a time and – let's see what we can possibly get to by the time school starts.
What's the first game that you're scheduled to go to?
I am not scheduled right now for anything. I went to the Belmont Stakes, and that is all I have on my plate. We've got a meeting later this week to kind of see where we're going to get, if we're going to go to games. But we'll go from there. I would imagine, the Kentucky Derby is on Labor Day weekend, so I would cover that. But I would probably be at football games that Thursday and maybe even Monday, that Labor Day, if there are football games and we deem it safe to travel.
I got a book for you when it comes out. Wright Thompson wrote it, and it's about Pappy Van Winkle. It's about horse racing and Pappy Van Winkle, and I got an advanced copy and read it. It's wonderful. I mean, because Wright Thompson is he's not one of the best sports writers. He's one of the best writers out there. And I figured that you being in Louisville, you'd have great appreciation for that. And maybe you've had Pappy Van Winkle before.
I have had some Pappy cross my lips. So you combine Wright and Pappy and that bring on the book. I'll take it. And the Derby.
Thank you, Pat. Good to talk to you. And we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay.
It's Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated senior writer. Back with your phone calls after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. I went back in the control room. The big German is the director. I'm used to going in control rooms where there are some really impressive directors and producers, high-end producers and directors. I go in there. I got Dylan over there doing graphics. At least I think he is. Tyler is, they have a jar there for every time Tyler screws up that he has to put a dollar in it. And it's starting to fill up. And then I got the big big German there. So I'm in good hands. I got a dog back there. Penny's there. Yes.
Soon to be the Emmy Award winning.
And Tyler's showing the jar, but he's got to make sure he doesn't show what's written on that jar. There's a word that shouldn't be on there, Tyler. Just making sure. Yep, I'm in good hands. This is why I left ESPN, so I could have a show just like this. We're doing Cam Chowder t-shirts. Brady's threatening to sue us.
Who's got it better than us?
Yeah. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. Jesse in Colorado. Hi, Jess. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. 58200.
Okay.
I was just wondering what you guys thought about Cam Newton signing. Is Cam really the genius in all this? Is he using – because the Patriots don't – you know, they're famous for underpaying their players. Is he using the Patriots as kind of a base to get back in the NFL and sign multi-million dollars in any team that he wants because the best coach in football?
Yeah, yeah, this is – this. But he had no leverage. There are no other teams. I know Cleveland talked about this. There was a report that Cleveland was interested or at least thought about bringing Cam Newton in, but New England was the only team interested in bringing in Cam Newton. Therefore, he had no leverage. Therefore, do you want to play? And I think it was Bomani Jones who said this a few weeks ago. If you're Cam Newton, do you want to go in and sign a $1 million deal or do you, want to do something else? But if Cam Newton lives up to Cam Newton's hype, he's going to be very rich again because he's young enough. He's 31. If he starts in New England, proves he can play, now he's got leverage. But he didn't have leverage before. Yeah, Paul.
A lot of other teams are now asking, their beat reporters are asking, why didn't we sign Cam Newton? And just one example is Chicago. And the analysis there is they signed Nick Foles and guaranteed him $21 million. They could have got Cam Newton in theory for, one-fifth that or less. But I think the theory is Mitch Trubisky can't have Cam Newton over his shoulder. The Patriots don't care about that kind of stuff. If you can't handle someone over your shoulder, then get lost. They don't care about protecting a young player who's trying to develop.
Yeah, I understand if I'm the Patriots and I got a chance to do something and maybe counteract what Baltimore's doing with Lamar Jackson, because Cam's one of the founding fathers of the run-pass option. Colin Kaepernick. That's why teams should be looking at him just to see if he is, committed to playing and what kind of shape he's in. I would. That's what the league is now. RPO, run pass option. Yeah, McClellan.
All right, Ryan Tannehill is the same age as Cam. He did a minimum deal.
Yeah.
And he just signed 4 years, $118 million.
Yeah. When he went to Tennessee, I said at the time, he'll be the starter. He'll beat out Marcus Mariota. I didn't know that he would get that kind of contract. If you said who's getting paid, Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill, I would have said, well, Derrick Henry is. He got a one-year deal. He's a running back. But I would certainly be looking at – I think it's smart for the Patriots to do this. And I think Belichick, it's hard to do it when you have Tom Brady there. But they brought in quarterbacks. They brought in, Michael Bishop? He was an RPO guy. Now, he was ahead of his time, but the Patriots aren't going to be using that kind of player unless you're doing sort of what the Saints are going to be doing with their quarterbacking situation. If you bring somebody in, Taysom Hill, who does something different at a certain situation on the field or, with the how much time's left on the clock, those kind of things. But I think it's smart what the Patriots did to bring in Cam. And I heard this argument yesterday. Yeah, but don't you think he's going to be a distraction? The Patriots don't allow you to be a distraction. I mean, they handle distractions quite well. Their distractions have nothing to do with what are you wearing at a press conference. Their distractions are a little bit bigger than that. I got a tight end in prison. My owner is being brought up on charges. My coach maybe was spying on somebody. These are the things they deal with, and they deal with those pretty well. Oh, Cam, is he going to be able to wear a scarf to the press conference? And I went, has anybody seen what Gardner Minshew wears? Has anybody said, boy, Gardner Minshew, he's a distraction. Brady gave a lot of thought going to that press conference. Yeah, Seton.
As I say, Brady was, I mean, he wasn't maybe as adventurous about his outfits.
He didn't wear a scarf.
He didn't wear a scarf, maybe, and some sunglasses. But, I mean, he brought the hammer occasionally with his choice of outer coat.
Oh, yeah.
Cost per outfit was probably equal, Cam's to Brady's.
If Cam Newton plays well, it doesn't matter what he wears to a press conference.
Coach, can you talk about Cam's outfit earlier today? Can you imagine just his face about, is this what we're doing?
Coach, could you respond, the color coordination of Cam with the scarf with what he had on? No.
Belichick should coach the game from the sideline in one of Cam's outfits. Like week one.
Does Dolce do cutoff hoodies?
Yeah. I cut the sleeves off this $1,500 jacket.
I'm looking for a Tommy Hilfiger hoodie that I can cut off sleeves. Look at what Gardner Minshew wears to games. Like his outfits. And I've never heard anybody say, he's a distraction. Now, granted, it's Jacksonville.
Is that a Louis Vuitton clipboard with that little design on the back?
Pair of jorts.
That's where he's holding up his plays to cover his mouth, and it's all Louis.
I mean, come on. If Cam plays well, he can wear a dress. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Just play well. That's all you want. That's what you would accept. Could Cam Newton be a better signing for the Patriots than Brady in Tampa? Could that actually be a possibility? And the answer is yes. As much as, you know, we don't want to embrace that because, I mean, Brady, what he did, got out of the AFC, went to the NFC, NFC South. That Tampa team, I think, is ready to go. You're hosting the Super Bowl. Like, that buzz, you know, is immeasurable. Cam going to New England created a little buzz here. And if he proves to be successful, because the odds now it feels like that maybe they are a playoff team. But I think they're around, I don't know if their over-under has changed from what, 9, 9.5, McLovin?
I thought it was 8.5 to 9, but right around there.
Yeah, maybe it changed. I know their odds.
Went up a half game.
Yeah, like comeback player of the year. Cam's up there on the short list. And I don't know, like MVP odds, I think he's up there as well. All right, 2 hours in the books, one more to go. He is the mayor of Flavortown. But what if his hometown is renamed Flavortown? Guy Fieri will join us. The city of Columbus, Ohio, getting names, signing a petition, thousands wanting to change the name of Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown. Guy Fieri will join us coming up. Dan Patrick Show.